Just a programming note, we are expected the governor of New York State to be speaking around 11:15 this morning, so we're trying to get in as much as we can prior to that. He will be speaking, I believe, from the Capitol, and we'll be bringing that live coming up when it happens. We've been trying to get this our next guest on for the last couple of days and have been unable to because of all of the stuff going on and all the press conferences and so forth that we have covered. Kevin O'Connor is a great friend to us here. He is executive director of Joseph's House and Shelter in New York. They were founded in 1983, a community-based not-for-profit corporation that provides a continuum of homeless services to residents of the Capital Region. With these unprecedented times, Joseph's House is working to ensure that they're prepared in the face of these circumstances, which are devastating to the most vulnerable community members. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Kevin O'Connor back to the roundtable. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, good. Just let me catch my breath. It's been pretty wild. Homeless services are no strangers to adapting to wildness and ever changing circumstances in our communities. But boy, this has been pretty amazing.
So how so? I mean, we all know the effect in the economy, and I'm just curious as to how do you then see the immediate impact in what you do? So we go into these lockdowns, not lockdowns, but we go into these quarantines, we go into the state being put on pause. How does that impact you and what you do day to day?
So the state has declared, shelters like ours, and there are many throughout the listening area. There are dozens of homeless shelters in the listening area as essential services in New York State. I assume in the other states as well. So we're not going to close. And we've got huge challenges with space and physical distancing. We've got significant check-ins with our shelter guests and our residents in our permanent supported housing programs. Many of them, coping with their mental illness. Many of them struggling in their recovery from substances, with developmental disabilities, with medical frailties. We've got workforce issues and support and keeping our staff safe and scheduling. We've got supporting households who recently were homeless and are now moved into the community and were relying on incomes to meet their rents and now that's fallen through for them. We've got families who are homeless. And there's homeschooling that's expected, and we have a challenge of disrupted supply channels, food, cleaning supplies, masks. We need masks. Everyone does. Household needs, et cetera. And then we have communication. So we're scaling back our workforce. We're doubling up in some areas, and we want everyone to know what's going on and creating new systems of communication on the fly. So those are some of the things that we're all dealing with. The good thing is that there's a really good support from the state, Office of Mental Health, OASAS, the Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, our local counties. They're really facing the burden, and that's an interesting issue. Each county is differently resourced, but they're all responsible. The local departments of health are all responsible for the local local protocols, so they give hands out to them, but at the same time, it's different. There's different protocols and different resources, different contacts depending on the counties you're working with. So that's a bit of a challenge. The quarantine has been so we worked really hard with the local districts to develop quarantine mm-hmm. and self isolation protocols, but then over the weekend, we stopped testing people regularly, and so only the most sick are getting tests. So we're making on the fly, trying to figure out who may or may not be symptomatic and how we do our best to isolate people. Sometimes off-site and other times on-site, but we don't really know because they may have the symptoms that are related to the virus and sometimes not. So it's a weird time.
I'm curious, and obviously you don't have to tell me this if you can't or don't want to, but has the virus come to Joseph's House as far as anyone testing positive?
No one testing positive amongst our staff or our tenants or clients. Now, however, folks had been on quarantine because they were exposed, particularly the health provider. A health provider was positive, so we certainly had a person who was quarantined for the 2-week period that ended on the 21st. And there are similar kind of stories with a lot of our staff who are now home. And we've developed a new COVID leave policy for folks so that we have a 2-week policy that we can pay people if they're caring for somebody who tested positive or they're waiting for test results to come in or they're home but they are now with their children and there's no other care that can be provided. So there's a lot of disruption that have occurred, but we have not confirmed tested positive anybody in our services, and that's over the 275 people that we serve, both on site. And we haven't even talked about folks that are unsheltered. We believe that we're in contact with about 45 or 50 individuals who are out in the community, most of them in Albany proper, most in downtown Albany. The good news is none of them are staying in encampments, so they're not close to each other, as far as we can tell. But the bad news is a lot of their support services, a lot of their food, a lot of them relied on the kindness of downtown merchants or state workers and their home. We've expanded our street outreach to 12 hours a day, from 10 in the morning to 10 at night, trying to meet that need. Anecdotally, there are some individuals, this is against our advice, but there are some individuals who are leaving shelters because they're afraid of the virus and the close proximity that a lot of the shelters have and choosing to stay outside. We don't recommend that. HUD does not recommend that. Department of Health does not recommend that. We think that people are safer in a controlled setting where there's medical services and assistance for folks. So we're encouraging people to go back. Those that are on the street, you know, we're giving hand sanitizers, and when we have a forehead thermometer that we're reading people as safe as we can be, their temperatures. We're connecting people to medical services if the combination of symptoms arise, but we're really encouraging people to go into shelter.
We have about 2 minutes left, Kevin, and I'm interested in if you're on your wish list. For the people listening to us in our region and around this region, of how they can help you, of how they can help other homeless shelters,
right,
of what's on that wish list, of what people can do to help this most vulnerable population.
So I can speak for most just find your local homeless shelter. It's a nonprofit typically in your neighborhood. Go to their websites. Find ways to contribute money to them. Right now, we're really spending a lot of money on supplies, extra staffing, extra hours, overtime, leave time while other people are on. We have, for instance, our agency has 4 24-hour programs that always need to be staffed. That's certainly one thing. And we all need masks, and there's some wonderful groups that are making homemade masks that are not as good as a surgical mask, we know, but they're better than nothing. So consider donation of masks to homeless shelters, to community residences, the people that serve the folks with mental illness, to addiction recovery programs, any residential program in your neighborhood. Look them up and help them financially. Try to get them masks. Those that are making masks, certainly focus on the medical need, the medical providers, but also don't forget these real congregate settings, because if we're all trying to be safe and we're all practicing harm reduction, I think these congregate settings need. And the biggest thing, I think the deeper thing is, I hope what comes out of all of this is a deeper compassion and understanding for one another. This is a very difficult time. You know, we're seeing people and they're going through real difficulty, we just need to be empathic. We need to care for each other and be there for each other. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, don't be sorry at all. I certainly understand. Kevin, one of the reasons I admire you so is because of your empathy and because of the beautiful work that you do on a day-to-day basis. I thank you for sharing with us. I thank you for being there and helping out the community, and I look forward to a conversation very soon. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you to the WAMC community.
Thank you. You can find out more information by going to josephshousetroy.org, josephshousetroy.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.